The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. I am here in New Mexico. I'm not going to attempt the town name. Tell me how to say it.
Ruidoso. Ruidoso, New Mexico.
That's where we are. You know, there's sometimes when you travel to events and you're just like, I'm with my people. Yeah. I feel like I'm with my people here in New Mexico. It's been such a fabulous time. And lo and behold, I walk into the conference after traveling all day and I see a dear friend on stage emceeing, and we've met one time. Real life, and yet a dear friend
in 2011.
So Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Tell us who you are.
So my name is Matt Rush. I grew up on a farm and ranch here in New Mexico on the east side of the state that we still have with my dad and I partner together on our little place. And then my wife and I live in Loveland, Texas now. I had to be closer to the airport, so I moved across the state line to be closer to the airport because I get to travel and speak and train all over the country, mostly to ag groups, just like you.
Yes.
So we have a good time.
You're so optimistic, so positive. And I asked you how much coffee do you drink? And you say none. So I have to try to keep up with this man. And I've had a lot of coffee today, and he's going to give me
imagine me. Caffeinated.
I honestly like it.
Pray for my wife. That's all I gotta tell you. Just pray for my wife. She deserves it.
That's awesome. Okay, so as I'm walking into the event, you remind everybody. Tell everybody how you introduced me last night.
I'm on. This is Women in Ag Leadership Conference. We've been having this conference since 1998, something like that. I've been helping with it since 2001. I'm one of the only dudes that gets to come back and help with this conference. I love it. In fact, last year I was like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. Get out. I can't. Yeah. It's like you're trying to kick another guy out. So I'm up on stage emceeing the kickoff last night, the reception, and she comes walking in and I'm like, Amanda, like on stage, I just stopped talking, start talking to her. And I'm like, I got to tell y'all, the first time I met her, I was in Washington, D.C., and we went to this guy's house. Who was that guy? And I'm like, she's like, we figured it out. It's Jess Peterson.
Jess Peterson, U.S. Cattleman.
Like, yeah, we went to his house for this party, and then I just went on because ADD brain's like leaving. And she's like, it sounds like we met at a house party. And it was a book party, launching her book.
Children's book. Oh, sweet children's book author.
Wasn't a party.
But it kind of felt. It was a celebration.
Yeah, it was.
I'm going to go hunt down the pictures. I'm going to post them on Facebook for a... You look exactly the same.
Well, shut up. Not from that picture. I know.
Me neither. We are old now. We are you much older than me.
Shut up. It's true though.
Oh, we're gonna have so much. Ultimate MC of all time. Like, I dare anybody to meet Matt on stage. Matt, you are known as the gooder guy.
The gooder guy.
Okay, what does that even mean?
I was checking out this store. This lady did not look like she was living her best life. She's like stoic, you know, you've seen him.
Yeah.
And I was like, motivational speaker, dude, I'm going to fire her up.
I get invested.
And I'm like, well, hey, good morning. I'm like, how are you today? And she goes, I'm good. How are you? Aww. And I'm like, well, I'm gooder. And she laughed. Aww. And I was like, that's it. That's my tagline. So from then on, it was life is good. Let's make it gooder. Aww. My mom's an English teacher. My sister, English teacher. They're very proud of our company name.
I'm sure.
But it's about doing those small things. And that's, I think, my whole mission, especially in like my keynotes or anything, because I'm more motivational. You have such an amazing keynote, and the message you deliver and the stuff you've gone through as we get. I try to just inspire people. I'm like, you know what? We need it. Like, we need the shot in the arm.
Yeah.
Life beats us up.
Yeah.
So let's just a little bit. I mean, me and that girl, that was one like
a moment.
Mm-hmm. And she laughed. And like, that's it. If somebody's laughing, they have an open soul.
That's right.
And an open spirit.
I love that.
And so we need more people to laugh.
And I know we had talked about just our life traveling, and it's that people say like, oh, you get to see all these exotic places and joke. Nope. You see the hotel, you see the airport, and really like maybe a fast food joint
and
in between.
Really tacky carpet in all of them.
Yes. But I think, you know, that just that story, that's why this podcast was started, because it's the people you get to meet, those like little interactions where you're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see this person again.
That's right.
But we had a human moment on the road, and I noticed I would get to have all these moments, and I would drive back home to the farm, and like, you know, my family, they're just in the grind of doing all the things. And so it was like, I have to start bringing that inspiration, motivation back with me and to all these people. And so that's the podcast. That's what I try to do. But I do it too. When you see crabby people at fast food or something, you're like, I'm just going to insert myself. And like, even if you tell them, I love your hair, you have a cute outfit, like just something that's like, the world is mean and nasty.
Yeah.
And it's like, could you be like a bright light just for a
moment? To that point, I'm dropping clothes off at the cleaners because I refuse to iron my own clothes.
So, oh, it's just working smarter, not harder.
There's a sweet little girl, high school kid, you know, first job, I'm sure. She had amazing fingernails and they were crazy long. Like, I don't understand them.
Yeah.
Don't get that. How do you pick your nose? I don't understand. Right. So I'm like, man, your nails are on point, girl. And she just looks at me and then she just like, well, thank you. And so then every time I'd go in there, she'd have different nails and I'd compliment them.
Yeah.
One time I'm in there and I said, looking good on those. Those are new. And she goes, thank you for noticing. I do them myself. And most people just criticize me because they're long. Aww. And you're the only guy that just comes in here and just says they look good.
Aww.
I was like, was that hard?
Right.
Look, it wasn't hard. And she was a memorable moment for this kid.
Yep. That's the thing. It's
we can make gooder.
We can make
little things.
So when does the book come out?
So I'm halfway through the writing process now, actually, as of yesterday, I'm halfway.
Okay.
So our goal is to have the book out by November, A Gooder Life.
Awesome.
What we're trying to base it on is what we deal with in ag, is how do we build connections with people?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to have a gooder life, you've got to build a connection with somebody else. Right. And you've got to make those connections. And I think that's what we've messed up on ag so bad.
Yeah.
Because in one of my speeches, I say, you know, most of us in ag are perfectly content to sit on a tractor, sit on a horse, and just do our jobs.
Yeah.
And we really would like to be left alone
right.
to do our jobs.
Correct.
But in the absence of our voices, those who don't know us, don't understand us, or don't like us are redefining who we are.
Right.
And it's about us. How do we make those connections? Because once people know us,
mm-hmm.
they trust us. They like us. They get us.
Right.
They understand.
Right. We're all right people. We're not the bad guys.
Yeah, not the bad guys. We're actually the good guys.
Yeah, right.
How did we get painted to be the good guys? We're the gooder guys.
I like it. Thanks. Cha-ching. I'll take my commission now.
You got it.
You have a very interesting life. We were talking about before the show. Like, it's amazing how God just like your path, you couldn't write it if you plan.
Made
you
could, it up.
Yeah. So you also have a couple children's books. Tell us about that.
I do. So, well, okay. So back up to the COVID thing. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about COVID. Everyone's like, click, we're not listening. I promise this is a story you want to hear.
Yeah, because our story is so similar.
I know.
Pre-scamdemic, if I can say that on the podcast.
Yes, you can. Oh, yeah.
I was living my best life. I was speaking every week, multiple places every week, mm-hmm. and just rolling. August of 2019, amidst the crazy, my wife got hit by a drunk driver, and it was a horrible experience. We had to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
Get through that. Then December 2019, I ended up with a flesh-eating bacteria, snuck into a dry weather crack in my finger and almost lost my hand.
Wow.
Had to get through that. My wife says in January 2020, are we going to be okay? And I'm like, yeah, I got the best year of my career, but for 2020,
right?
We're rolling. I literally said, I think we'll even be debt-free by the end of 2020.
And
house
then,
and all. House and farm and all.
Wow. So the world was your oyster.
Did not happen. So then when we lost everything with the scamdemic, I started getting mentally depressed.
Yeah.
We started getting into a bad headspace. And she came in one day and I said, I got to do something. She goes, what are you going to do? And I said, I think I'm going to start taking art lessons. And she's like, what?
What?
Like, because I don't paint. I don't draw.
Yeah.
And I always thought my speaking was my art.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. I've always wanted to learn how to sculpt to make bronze artwork. She said she feels like God put his hand over her mouth and said, just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust the process.
Yeah.
I needed the outlet. Mm-hmm. And within, she says within 3 weeks, meeting with a mentor once a week for 3 weeks, she said she just saw it. And she said, this is going to be big.
Wow.
And God had a hidden talent we knew nothing about. But if it hadn't taken the shutdown mm-hmm. to help cause us to stop.
Right.
It never would have found it.
Yeah.
So I just finished my 16th piece of artwork.
Wow.
Mostly Western art. And then amidst that, I said that released a creativity that I didn't know I had.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 a.m., a year and a half ago, 3 a.m., I woke up having a dream. But time out. My wife and I don't have kids. I'm Uncle Matt. She's Aunt Katie. And we have a lot of, I have a niece and three nephews and a lot of faux family. It's 3 a.m., woke up having a dream about a kid in our kitchen. I grabbed my phone, this one right here. And started writing in the note section, and I wrote the first book in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I've written several children's books in the middle of the night, just like that.
That yep. I mean, that's an inspiration.
Yep.
That's maybe. Like God saying, here you go. You've stopped. Now let me come in.
Yes, exactly.
And my fingers couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah.
So the story's about Max, the Marshmallow Cowboy. It's called The Marshmallow Cowboy. It's about a kid who's sick. He can't go outside and play in the snow. And Max, the Marshmallow Cowboy, appears out of the hot cocoa. And
it's adorable.
Thanks. It's so fun. And Max talks to the kid about how he can choose his attitude. He could be sad that he can't go outside and play in the snow, or he can be grateful that his mom wants him to feel better before Christmas.
Yeah.
So we're trying to teach kids attitude is a choice.
Yep.
It'll be a series. So we have the second book out. It's called S'more Cowboy.
Get it.
And Max appears to another kid and talks to her about what self-image is. And how self-image is based upon how we see ourselves, not what other people say about us, and that we all struggle with it. Every man, woman, and child has to deal with choosing our self-image.
That's right.
And that we are, I sneak a little verse in there. I said, we have to say every day, you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
And it's a choice that we how we see ourselves.
Yep.
So attitude, self-image, third one will be on relationships. Fourth one will be on goal setting. Fifth one will be on work. So we're just trying to bring values-based content back to kids' books, as told from Max,
yep.
The Marshmallow Cowboy.
That's my passion, too. It's like you get so frustrated kind of with just like the change in culture and the way from faith
yeah.
and family and the politics. And it's like, I realize I can't really wave a magic wand and fix all that, but I can, in my sphere of influence, just try to shift the culture and be a good example of like some of those things that we hold dear that have kind of gone out of style,
yeah.
you know, it's like, let's bring them right. back in style. Let's
Absolutely.
Give people permission.
Because there's more of us that are that way than not.
That's right.
So it's like, no, it's okay for us to have these. It's okay for us to talk
right.
about this.
We don't have to hide in the shadows. No. We can be unapologetically
yeah.
faithful, God-fearing, family-oriented people that
oddly enough
want to make the world a better place and not be negative all the time.
Yeah. And when did we become the bad guys? Because we stopped speaking.
That's right. We suppressed our speech. Yeah.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
I guess on that note, you know, how do you stay optimistic? How do you have that mindset shift? You are a abundantly positive person.
Try to be.
But you said even during COVID, you had dark moments that...
Well, and I tell everybody, like, I mean, of course I deal with it too. I don't live in some very, very la-la land,
right?
Like...
Right.
San Francisco. I mean, so I have down days and One lady asked me that one time. She said, do you ever have a down day? You're like, you're always so positive. I'm like, well, of course I do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we all do.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's even in those down days, and that's one of the chapters that we just finished was, even in the worst of times, even in the biggest struggles, and we're going through some stuff right now. I'm waiting on a text about my nephew right now, and I'm tore up about it, you know, and it's, even in all that, there's good that comes from it.
That's right. That's right.
He even told me, even with all he's going through, he sent me a message yesterday and he said, thank you so much for supporting me. I found out what family's really for.
Aww.
And this is a 19-year-old kid.
I'll be praying for him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it was like, even good comes from a bad situation.
That's right. That's right.
This causes us to rally around him. Mm-hmm. And he sees that. We all need that support. So, yeah, I mean, I get bad days. Famous speaker, Zig Ziglar, motivational speaker. He's kind of known as the father of motivational speaking.
That's right.
Amazing man, amazing family. He passed away in 2012. Still the highest paid non-celebrity speaker there's ever been.
Yep.
He had a saying. He said, of course, motivation doesn't last, but neither does bathing. And we recommend that daily.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Like, that's right. So true.
Yep.
So you still got to be pouring in the good, the positive, and the pure instead of just listening to the bad.
Right.
Which our first book, the first thing we did in COVID during the shutdown was a friend of mine who does all my website design and all my marketing stuff. He does all that. He told me one time in 2019, he said, you know, none of this leadership stuff, none of this stuff you talk about matters if somebody is stressed. And I was like, well, that's true. Stress is an emotion. Emotion overrides fact every time.
Yeah.
So our first project in COVID was we wrote a book called Stress for You. How to turn off stress with the flick of a switch.
Sure.
So sometimes we need to stop the inflow of the things that we can control.
Right.
Stop watching the news.
Right.
Stop being connected to your device 24/7.
That's right.
Stop. We weren't made for this.
Yep. I know. I really do think in the news cycles, it's like we genuinely weren't meant to know all the things that we know.
No.
Because you carry that. You internalize it. And it's my best moments are, well, either at church where I can find silence or 100%. In a cattle pasture. Where it's
absolutely.
Like, leave the phone in the house and I can find clarity in the silence of just life is crazy.
And that's for me. Now I'm in the studio more. I've created a little studio to do my bronze artwork and play with the clay, and it's my tractor time now. I'm not on a tractor very much anymore, but I go in my little 10x10. I call it the Unabomber shack in the backyard. Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
And it's my moment. It's I can just turn everything off and be quiet.
Yeah.
And I think we've forgotten that in ag. We're so connected. Well, as a society, we are more connected than we've ever been in the history of mankind. And yet we're more disconnected than we've ever
been
in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. So it's about how do we rebuild connections? But the first one we got to rebuild is the one between our ears.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten so crazy busy that we just need to sometimes stop.
Yep. And I've realized too, I can't really listen to God if I'm letting the whole world tell me where I need to be.
It's
just like when I have shut down my mind enough, he always gives me the answer. Doesn't mean I like the answer all the time, but it's like, and it's, I tell people too, stress isn't always bad because it means if you're stressed, like for the right reasons, like you're trying, anything we're doing in life is like, can be stressful because you're exerting yourself in a meaningful way. But if it's eating you alive, which we've all had those moments, it's like me losing a year's worth of work during COVID, super stressful, but slowed down my life enough adopted a little boy because of it, you know? So it's like,
and you wouldn't trade that for the world.
Wouldn't. God can make bad and turn it into good, but we have to be listening, figure out gooder, cha-ching. These books are going to sell themselves. Thanks. Okay. So tell me the sculptures. When you and like shared your first piece, I was like floored. I'm just telling you, I love art. And like, I am a creative person too. So if I get stressed, that's what I'm doing. I'm like painting a wall or doing something crazy, you know, that's like, this doesn't make sense, but I just need an outlet. But when I saw that, I was like, this is a man of such talent. I had no idea. How can people buy these sculptures? Like, how can they support you?
Well, yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Starving artists.
Buy all of them.
He's super successful.
What do you say? Well, there's a saying we have. Support living artists. The dead ones don't need it anymore.
That's right.
Support starving artists. The dead ones don't need it anymore. That's it.
That's right.
Matt Rush Art.
Okay.
Is the website. It's under construction right now, so we'll have it done pretty shortly.
Okay. But
otherwise, on social media, mattrush.com. I'll send you pictures. But
and is that where you can buy the books as well?
You can. MarshmallowCowboy.com
is
the website for the books. And we're just trying to make the world a more gooder place.
Well, I don't know if you noticed. I've been smiling this whole time we're talking. So, like, this is just such a treat. We're actually, it's so great. It's so great. I love this trip. And we're doing this recording in the middle of a break, or, like, they're in a breakout session. So we snuck to a corner to visit and trying to maximize our time together before I have to get to the airport. But you've lived, like, many lives. So like, could you just give people some basis of like, you've worked for associations, you've done a lot of things. Like, what have
I
you all
always
done?
From the time I was in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
I'm one of those weird kids. You're like, yeah, you were. From the time I was in the eighth grade, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a public speaker. I wanted to be a speaker and trainer in farm and ranch. It's all I've ever wanted to do in my life.
Yeah.
I heard a speaker at a youth conference and I was like, I want to do that. I always thought I wanted to do it through politics. So sure. I actually ran for office twice. Everything I did was trying to lead up to that, to be a public servant. Always felt called to do that. Ran twice at the age of 34, ran for state representative in New Mexico. Lost.
Tough place.
Horrible. That was your President Obama got elected. Not a good year for a blonde-headed, blue-eyed, white Republican conservative to run in a district that was 10 to 1, Democrat to Republican.
Wow.
But still felt called to do it. I don't regret it. 2 years later, that seat was an open seat. I was almost guaranteed to have won that seat and been a state representative and got recruited to run for state land commissioner, which is a statewide race. Much better fit for me.
Yeah.
Ran 12 out of, in 12 months, did 75,000 miles in New Mexico.
Wow.
Drove all over this place. I said, we're going to put it all on the table.
Yep.
And we're going to win. There's four of us on the Republican primary. I won with 65-68% of the vote in the Republican primary. So got out of the primary. The guy who won the Democrat primary had served as land commissioner for 8 years, sat out for 8 years, ran for lieutenant governor during that point in time. He was, his father was the same name.
Okay.
Chairman of the state Democrat party.
A lot of name recognition.
Lots of name recognition. Mm-hmm. He's from Albuquerque. Half the state's population lives in one place.
Yep.
So all of his greatest strengths were our greatest weaknesses.
Sure.
And I told the kids that were working for me, we're going to have to work twice as hard with half the money because no one's going to think we stand a chance of winning.
I can relate to that. Yep.
Right. Our race was the last one called of the night. Called it at 1:30 in the morning. I lost 52-48. I never went to sleep that night. I had lost everything. I lost all our money. I lost more money than we even had. And, you know, it's done. You lose.
Right.
Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I start going through all the emotions.
Yeah.
I will never forget it as long as I live. About 10:30, the day after, I'm on the interstate. We left the watch party and down at a hotel in Albuquerque, heading to my cousin's house. My mom and my sister were in the pickup with me. My phone rings. I do not know the guy who called. I did not recognize his name. He's an elderly gentleman. I could tell from the sound of his voice. And he goes, is this Matt Rush? And I'm like, yes, it is. He goes, well, young man, I'm calling to tell you something that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear it. Well, at this point in time, I don't care.
Right.
I've lost.
Right. Right.
I'm like, well.
Well, whatever.
Bring it.
Yeah. You can't make my day any worse.
He said, you're a 36-year-old nobody from Dora, New Mexico, population 125. He goes, you only needed another 2.5% to take out a political icon in the Democrat Party of New Mexico. He goes, you got nothing to be ashamed of, boy. Now just get over it and go on.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
It's exactly what you needed to hear.
It was exactly what I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. Morning process was over. I was ready to go forward.
Move it along.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the Deluxe Chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt Minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKEY to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
2 weeks later, New Mexico Farm Bureau, Farm and Livestock Bureau, their CEO left, and his assistant came in as the interim. I emceed their annual meeting banquet every year.
Yeah.
After the banquet, I met with the board. They asked if I'd serve as interim CEO. I ended up, that was a better fit for me anyway. Stayed there for 3.5 years. In that time period, I met the Zig Ziglar family.
Wow.
They asked me to be one of the, go through their first certification class that they'd ever done.
Wow.
And that launched my speaking career.
Wow.
But if I hadn't ran lost.
That's right.
I would never have met them.
Yep.
And if I hadn't have done that, I ended up having a real bad accident at the farm. I almost died in 2000 and something-ish, 2014. I almost fell off the tractor and hit the quick hitch handle, and it went through my leg, almost hit my femoral artery.
Oh, wow.
And broke my leg in the process. So if I hadn't ran for office and lost, wouldn't have got the job, wouldn't have met the Ziglar family, wouldn't have been where I was at, had the accident, and the accident led me to a healing process that lasted months, which is when I met my wife.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, life really is good.
It is good.
Sometimes you got to see the parts that make it gooder.
Right.
You know, there's going to be so much turmoil, and there's so many, like I said earlier, like we grew up on dirt roads. Dirt roads are rough. That's life.
That's life.
But so why, when rough things happen, are we so taken back and shocked by it?
Right. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's how you respond to it. And yeah, that's how my life has been. It's like, I could not write the path. I could not.
Never.
And the best moments have come after the worst struggles every single time.
Every time.
And you're like, you have to have that low to even this. We had talked about earlier, like my carbon pipeline fight.
Yeah.
It is the worst thing that's probably ever happened to me because it's been so painful.
Controversial.
So long.
You've probably lost friends.
Oh yeah. Grueling, painful, money, stress, you know, time away from my kids, all the things. Had to face evil in the eye over and over and over again. And yet, even though we're winning and we're winning a lot, that's not what mattered. What mattered was all the people I got to meet that are now family. I'll do business with them. Yeah. This community has been reinvigorated of like, we're not just connected on the internet anymore. It's like real
people.
You're connected. Like there's good things happening on the ground. And it's like, I thank that Saudi Arabia company. Thank you so much for coming here. Because it was a David and Goliath moment. And it was like, we had to do it. We had to go through it to see like what God's real plan was on the other side.
How many times did you think we can't do this?
Do you know how many times people told me, just give up. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. And by every metric, we should have lost.
Should have lost.
It was God.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And can you imagine, like, I mean, just you start thinking about your life, even like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you could have no concept of what you would go through to get you to where you're at today, huh?
Well, when I met you, I wasn't a mom yet. I'd had no idea.
You just got married. You just got the first book.
A baby. But I had all the, you know, hope in my eyes of like what was to come. I had no idea the hardship that
it's
was
going to be so rosy.
Yeah. This is, we're on our way.
It's going to be.
That's how I got speaking, by the way, too. I did 4-H speeches, started at 8, but I never knew it was a thing, like a career. I thought like celebrities did that. But someone heard me speak at like 18 and said, you could do this.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
What was your first speaking gig?
Oh, man.
You remember?
Honestly, there was a little cattleman's meeting at like 30 miles down the road. I had a PowerPoint. The PowerPoint died. I was a mess. If you could go back and listen to your first speeches, would you just cringe and die?
For the love of humanity. There's one group that I go back to every year. I'll do trainings like half day and full days, but then my favorite thing are the keynotes.
Yeah.
But I do half days and or leadership-based trainings. And there's one group that has granted me the opportunity to come back every year.
That's so great.
And I think this last year was my 22nd year.
Wow.
To do this kickoff retreat that they do. And last year I said, I just feel like I should go back to those first groups and apologize.
Yes. on behalf of.
Oh, sorry. I know I sucked so bad.
But at the time you probably didn't. Because it worked.
And the lady who said it said they had never heard you before. So they didn't know anything else.
Yep.
And like we were talking about last night, we have this horrible habit of judging ourselves after a speech and thinking, well, that didn't go very well. That wasn't my best. And I was like, wait a minute, we've hurt ourselves so many times. We value, we judge ourselves on this. They've only hurt us one time. They have nothing to base it on.
That's right.
So I say I can sum up all this stuff. I can sum up all leadership training. I can sum up all motivation. I can sum all of our problems up in three words. We get paid to say a lot more.
Yeah.
I can sum it up in three. Yep. That's get over yourself.
Get over yourself.
The day you realize it's not about you. It's about what we're trying to accomplish, where we're trying to go, who we're trying to influence is the day everything starts to change. That's it's right. Not about us.
That's right.
Now, don't understand what I'm not saying. I'm not saying to think less of yourself.
Right.
Because we beat ourselves up.
Oh, yeah.
Greatest worst enemy you'll ever face is the one that lives between your ears.
That's right.
Not think less of yourself, but think of yourself less often.
Correct. Yeah.
And get over yourself. Yeah, it's going to be okay.
You've tried your best and you've
keep going.
I have a public speaking course called Fearless. I work with a lot of 4-H FFA kids at because it's like, I want to help them with these tools. And that is my biggest thing is like, once you make, no matter what you're doing, whatever room you're in, whatever you're trying to do, once you take yourself out of the equation, you're like, I'm here to serve the people that are here.
Right.
What can I give them? What do they need? All of a sudden the nerves die away. Like it's not about, oh, they're judging me. They think I'm stupid. And if you speak from the heart and you speak the truth, that translates. You don't have to be the most polished speaker. You don't have to have every word just right.
Nobody expects it either.
No.
I say they don't expect perfection. They expect professionalism.
Correct. Yep.
I mean, we all mess up. I mean, all the time.
That's right.
So it's like, it's okay. You're going to mess up. Big deal. We all do.
That's right. That's right.
But like you're talking about getting them to see what message the audience needs to hear. Have you done story brand marketing with Donald Miller? There's a book called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Amazing messaging platform.
Okay.
And it's about, we all want to put ourselves as the hero of the story help solve everybody else's problems. Well, no, it's about them, their problems. And we just want to be the helper and the guide.
That's right.
When you start inserting yourself as a guide for people, not trying to be the hero, is when everything.
That's right. Well, I said it on my speech today.
Yeah.
I can come into your state. I can hear your problems. I can't fix your problems. You've got to pick up the shovel and start digging the hole or whatever you need to do. You got to fight for you.
That was a good point.
It's always my goal. It's like, I just want to light a fire where I'm going somewhere. Light a little fire. They got to kindle it though. They got to keep it going. And so it's man, we could talk all day. This is so fun. We only have 5 minutes left of the show though. So the floor is yours. I mean, what do we want to talk about?
As Forrest Gump, that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, right. Paid professional speaker. He never runs out of things to talk about.
I would close in almost every speech I give. I talk about my meemaw.
Okay.
My meemaw was, I had two amazing grandmothers. I was super blessed with two amazing grandmas. Meemaw lived longer, and I got to spend more of my adult years with Meemaw. As she was the most optimistic person you ever met in your life. I use pictures of her. She just radiated life, and she was so happy and so optimistic. She lived to be 93. How many people normally come to a 93-year-old's funeral? Not too many, right?
Not too many.
Because
pretty quiet.
They beat all their friends,
that's
right?
Great. That's right.
All their people. Yep. To complicate matters even more, my Meemaw retired as the manager of the local motor vehicle department.
Okay.
Anybody like going to the motor vehicle department?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Yeah.
We should have had to pay for mourners, but at Meemaw's funeral, it was standing room only.
Wow.
People, and I got to preach her funeral, and there was our help. And there was people just kept going by. I said, she was the most optimistic person I ever met in my life. She made me feel like I was the most important person in the world when I was talking to her. I know I wasn't, but she made me feel like it. And I'm like, no. While you were talking to her, you were the most important person in her world.
Wow.
I use the illustration. She was the type of person that if you'd have said, wasn't it sad with all the people who died with the sinking of the Titanic? She'd have been like, oh, yes, honey, that was just awful. But shouldn't we be grateful for all the people who lived?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how she lived. But she had every right reason to be the most bitter, negative, self-centered person on planet Earth. Mm. Her mom died when she was young. They were raised by a verbally abusive dad. She had to marry my granddad when she was like 17, 18 years old at a damn time that was taboo. My granddad, I loved my granddad. I do not respect his life choices.
Sure.
He could be everybody else's best friend, but to family, he was tough.
Yeah.
Especially when he drank and he did that daily.
Oh.
She told me one time, I should have left your granddad years ago, but I just didn't because that's not what you did back then.
Yeah.
And my point with telling her story is why? Why did you have that? She chose.
Yep.
She had a choice to be one. She chose to be something else. And we have that choice too.
We do.
How are you going to choose it?
Because
it's like you said, it's up to us.
It is.
We can pour it in. What are you going to choose to do with it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It's in business and life and family. Like I always think too, is maybe this is morbid, but I always think like we're all in our end days. Like every day.
The day you're born is the beginning of your end.
Yep. Right? So I think like, I don't assume I'm going to be 100 years old. It could end today on my way back to the airport. And so my mindset is always like, I want to leave it all on the field. Yeah. I don't want to leave any day where I didn't put 110% into everyone I meet, everything I'm doing. And yes, I can be negative and I can be a critic of myself. The internet comments that come in about you, they can just pierce you like a knife, you know. I bet you get a lot of comments about your hair and makeup and outfits like I do.
I do.
Yes, people are so nice on the internet. But like some of those things can drag you down. But it's like, you know what? I have the ability to impact people in a positive way, in my way that only I can do. Just like anybody listening to this, you have your own unique path. And make it count. Make it count. And yeah, it is a mindset. It's totally a...
Without question.
Yes.
Don't listen to that. I mean, that many voices pour in the positive, and yet we'll hear one negative or we'll hear one troll, and we take that to heart. And we said, I call it the handshake of acceptance. We said, no, I agree with that negative statement. I'm going to bring that into my life. No, stop shaking hands with that crap.
Yep, exactly.
You got thousands of people every day that want to pour into you.
Yep.
Maybe you only have two people. I don't care, but you got more people wanting to pour into you than not.
That's right. That's right. I've also learned too, not to value even the, and it's so wonderful, but not to value all the praise you get too, because it's, if your identity, like for me, if it's not in Christ, it's 1,000%. Humanism. And so like, if I'm relying on the internet or people around me to fill my cup or,
that
you know,
not
it's
real.
Not good. It's not good. So it's like, how am I being a reflection of Christ and who I meet and what I'm doing? And again, less about yourself. Less about you.
The same thing. Like if people say, oh, you did such a great job, or your artwork's amazing, or oh, how did you do these books? I'm like, it's a God thing. Yeah. It's not a me thing.
It's not me.
It cannot be me.
That's right.
I'm not capable of doing this.
Right.
No way. In my mind, am I physically capable of doing the things I'm doing right now?
Yeah.
So it's a God thing.
And maybe that's the best way to end this show too, is like, you are actually more capable of things than you have any idea. Like you might just shock yourself, but you have to be brave enough to answer the call when it comes, be brave enough to fail.
That's right.
Fail miserably. But failure, there's teaching moments. And you have to be brave enough to not care what anybody thinks while you're doing it.
Yeah.
This was so fun.
Life is good.
Life is gooder. Cha-ching. There we go. I'm going to be linking it all on the show notes, Matt. This has been so much fun. Thank you
for
everything.
Thank you for doing
Maybe
what you do.
Let's not wait 15 years to see each other again.
That's a game. Thank goodness for social media. I'm so grateful for social media, because I get to keep up with people like you that I feel a connection with, but I don't get to see.
I know, right?
But wait.
Like we're fast friends. We've met never. But yeah, I actually, I will extend an invite to you. How far are you? You're in Texas now, White House, Texas. It's on the other side of Fort Worth.
Well, my wife grew up in Fort Worth, so that's like a 5-hour drive.
Okay, well, I'm there every November for a cattle sale.
Oh, we'll
Capital come. Angus. Yes.
If we're in town, we would love
You're invited, and we have...
It's only a 5-hour drive. Right? It's not just that bad.
Get in the car. Let's go. And we have a Bid on Beef auction. I'm going to get you, like, some steaks that day. It's going to be so much fun.
You feed this boy a steak, I am there.
This is Go Beef. That's right. Okay. On that note, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next Wednesday on Apple and Spotify. I'm Amanda Radke for the Heart of Rural America podcast. We'll see you on the Dusty Trail.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.